This is Small Biz Florida, the podcast designed and produced specifically for Florida small business owners and entrepreneurs. Small Biz Florida, talk that works for Florida. This podcast is supported by the Florida SBDC Network, providing the tools, strategies, and expertise to help Florida's business community thrive. Visit the Florida SBDC online at www.floridasbdc.org or contact your local office and get started on your path to success today.
This is Small Biz Florida, the podcast and broadcast. It's all things business across the state of Florida. And if you've been listening to recent segments of Small Biz Florida, you'll know that we are coming to you from the Florida Economic Development Council's annual conference. We are right here in beautiful downtown St. Pete. We are at the Hilton Bayfront. And again, the room is absolutely full of those who are dedicated to economic development, professionals, vendors, suppliers, that are all here to support Florida's growth and future. With us, we have our good friend and co-host, Dr. Herb Ricardo, who serves as a professor at the Indian River State College School of Business, standout professor, might I say. Loved by all students who take classes from Dr. Ricardo. So again, thank you for co-hosting, Dr. Ricardo.
Thank you so much, Tom, for having me here.
Yep, absolutely. Wouldn't have it any other way. We appreciate the help and the insight. And we have, what I love about our next guest is that it really is one of those very innovative programs that maybe not everyone is very familiar with. We have with us Mr. Matt Chestnut. Welcome to Small Biz Florida, Matt.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Matt serves as the Vice President of Business and Economic Development for Space Florida. Herb, Space Florida.
I don't know.
See, Matt, I told you. I'm telling you. One out of two people do not know about Space Florida. So
That's generous, yeah.
We're going to blow this thing up today.
My job is to help everybody at least try to understand it. So we're trying to get the word out. We've done a pretty good job the last couple
yes,
of years.
Listen, you have. And it is a very innovative program, and I can't wait for the conversation. But let's start, as we always do, Matt, just a little bit of your background pathway to Space Florida.
Yeah, appreciate that. Again, thanks for having me here. I always enjoy our discussions that we have. I came from the route of city management. So my early career was public works, city management, did that for about 8 years. And quite honestly, there's two parts of city management I enjoyed doing. The rest of it, I do not miss.
Right.
But it was economic development and some of the planning stuff. I told somebody the other night, I'm like a zoning code nerd. I'll read that stuff and can understand it. So, but I also did the economic development, which was really my favorite part of helping communities grow. It's where you can put an imprint on. So once I got to Florida, I worked in a private community for a couple of years, but then was able to become the economic development director at Titusville, city of Titusville.
Wow.
And then moved on from there to Team Volusia Economic Development in Daytona Beach. And then about 3.5 years ago, I came to Space Florida. So I've kind of done that city, county, state level and been on the run ever since with Space Florida.
Wow. Great. So let's get right into it. Space Florida, mission, purpose?
Space Florida is the state spaceport development authority. So we're an independent special district of the state in Florida statutes, which gives us some similar authority to like a port authority, airport authority. But our jurisdictional boundaries, the entire state of Florida. So where these other ones probably have a smaller footprint, we're able to utilize our services throughout the state. There's six technically spaceport territories that we help with, and there's some transportation dollars. State of Florida has designated space as a form of transportation. So we're able to utilize some FDOT dollars to help with spaceport developments. And you know, the spaceport territories, obviously NASA, the Kennedy Space Center, Cape Canaveral Space Force Station with the facilities there. Titusville Cocoa Airport Authority has Space Coast Regional Airport as a spaceport as well. Cecil Spaceport up at Cecil Field in Jacksonville has also got a designation. And then there's two territories both up in Northwest Florida, Eglin Air Force Base, and then just east of Tyndall Air Force Base is an area called Cape San Blas, which is in the Gulf and underwater. But a lot of those both have to do with the test range that's out there on the Gulf and the ability to launch, do launches into that area more, not so much from a space launch, but from a probably a test range launch and those capabilities. So we deploy capital from the state in grants, and we've deployed a lot of capital into that. And really, and I don't have the numbers in front of me. I should have brought them, but roughly $40 million a year, I think we put in. I'm probably wrong. Somebody's going to call and say that's not quite right. But I think that's where we are for my last, maybe less. But really what we've seen for every dollar that the state's put in there, it's required to match from the private sector, and it's been about a 3-to-1 return. So
nice.
I think I'm caught blind here on that.
That's all right. That's
but I tried to. But anyway, so that's one.
We'll
of
have
our
a
roles.
Big disclaimer at the end of this episode.
So that's one of our roles, and quite honestly, not the roles that I play in. So that's why I'm not kind of on the numbers.
Right.
But so the rest of that is to also obviously work with aerospace companies, defense companies who are looking to either grow their existing locations in Florida or move to Florida and provide some tax efficiencies and tax some exemptions that are allowable by Florida statute. But the main point that we bring is we're access to capital. So we go out and look to finance the projects for facilities or equipment, and then turn those into operating leases and lease those back to companies to gain those tax efficiencies and tax benefits that could be out there.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, you know, I can't help but ask, I mean, you know, all of a sudden, you know, things are happening in a big way, you know, at Cape Canaveral. I mean, we got Blue Origin, we got SpaceX. I mean, how is all that affecting your organization and what's going on? Has it brought a whole lot more exposure to this, to the space industry?
The commercial launch has been, you know, critical to really the resurgence that you saw in Brevard County and the areas around there. I mean, Brevard County gets a lot of the magnifying glass on that one for what happened, but it had a huge effect in Central Florida. So you talk clear down through probably into Palm Beach and then up through into Jacksonville and Orlando, even Orlando, Tampa, from what the shuttle was. And when they moved on from the shuttle and then did not do the Constellation program, it was really that. I was in Titusville at the time, really a fear of, man, what's going to happen? Is NASA going to be there? Is there still going to be launches? And, you know, the leadership at Florida throughout has understood the need to keep those facilities and put money into those facilities and not rely on the federal government, but take state dollars and get that infrastructure in place. And we have become, you know, we're seeing probably a launch every 7 days right now. I mean, it's
wow.
I'm driving down the road the other day and I'm like, oh, there's a launch. The Space Florida guy should know there's a launch, but I had to look. Do we have a launch today? Yeah, we have a launch today. And it's just getting that way right now. So, which is awesome. I mean, you know, you might have 4 or 5 shuttle launches a year. You might have a couple, you know, ULA would launch some rockets, some payloads, maybe 3 or 4. I mean, we did 31 launches from Florida last year, and we're on pace for 50 right now. And so, you know, I think our goal is, you know, we'd like to see, you know, 100 launches a year. So they're kind of on that track, maybe 200, because that's what the facilities are allowing for. We've got enough capacity to do that. And we're one of the only places in the world that has the capacity to do that with those. So that's that investment in that's been critical. And to keep those companies coming to Florida. But really what we've wanted to do and what we needed to do, you know, in the past, none of that stuff was made in Florida. Those things were made in California. They were made in Louisiana, Texas, Alabama, and then they would bring them here and put them together, which, you know, when the government's running it, you have to have, everybody's got a little piece of it. But commercial people have come in and said that, you know, they're still making in different places because that's where they were located. But we're seeing more and more companies do more of the manufacturing here in Florida, which is what we need. I mean, you want to build it here, launch it here, bring it back here. And that's really, we're seeing more of that, and we're getting a lot more interest in that, as particularly as the number of commercial launch companies grow.
All right. What about that ecosystem that's built around this whole space industry? I'm assuming a lot of entrepreneurial opportunities to support these groups?
Yeah, I think so. I think a lot of the entrepreneurial stuff we did see a lot of entrepreneurial stuff come out of Shuttle. I mean, the people working on that innovative workforce. Herb, I know you see it with your students. Just the innovation mind that's coming out even at a younger level today is so amazing. But it's critical that we keep them here in Florida.
Yep.
And give them opportunities in Florida to get their ideas off of paper and into real life, because we can do that. And that's what we have to do. But that's amazing. The entrepreneurship that we're seeing out of that, these people spinning up new companies, new technologies, that's key. And we play a role in that space, Florida. We sponsor some events with Florida Venture Forum. We have one Friday, the Emerging Tech Conference over in Lake Nona, where, you know, companies are pitching, and we're seeing some amazing Florida companies come out that are early stage, that have some just crazy innovative ideas. And we need to be able to, one, get them capital to get them to grow here. And that's what we're trying to do, get them in front of investors. But also, you know, have that infrastructure in place to where when they want to start building something, when they need to start building something and meeting their customers' needs, we can do that in Florida as well. So,
yeah. So, excellent. And so obviously you've identified a couple of the organizations here, but talk to us a little bit about going outside of Florida and trying to recruit companies and bringing them in. Hey, this is what we can do for you. This is what we have for you. How much of that are you doing?
So we do that quite a bit. So we, you know, it's always easier to grow an existing company.
Sure.
I mean, sure. That's the low hanging fruit. There's a lot of low hanging fruit in Florida right now, but we also have companies that are looking to come here. I mean, the conditions in Florida right now for businesses are highly favorable. You know, the biggest question people have, and you know, this is talent. Is the talent there? Is the workforce there?
Yeah.
But that's an issue everywhere. Nobody's sure. Sitting on a bunch of workforce that's not being deployed right now anywhere. I think where Florida's advantage comes in, and it's you know, partnerships like with the state college systems and Indian River State College, and we have a fantastic you know, state college system, and then a system that helps get maybe people who aren't wanting a college degree, a certificate,
absolutely,
certification, those type of things, how critical those are.
Yes.
Starting at the high school level, training those, I think as a Florida, we started to really recognize that and deploy those type of programs in place that, you know, the workforce is here.
Yep.
They may be working retail. They may be working, some other job that's not looking like aerospace or, you know, pick a sector really.
All right.
But if somebody wants to do that in Florida, we want to give them that pathway to do it. I think Florida's been really innovative in what they've done. They've been, you know, I can't say enough nice things about the state college system and what you guys do. I mean, that's critical. And you guys work with companies. You will work with companies specifically to create programs for their training individually. And it's fantastic. And I don't know if other states are offering it, probably, but I think that's one of our forefronts. We're out there and we're doing it quickly.
Yeah, and of course we work with the SBDC, of course, and all these. But you're absolutely right. And you know, the whole idea of, you know, the space industry is an exciting industry. It's not like some of these others. So you know, I wonder how much, you know, a lot of, you know, maybe high schools and colleges actually know that it's a greater industry than it used to be only for astronauts before, right? I mean, isn't that what it was?
Yeah. Before? Well, you had the astronauts, but there's probably what, 50 astronauts. I mean, so there's they're you know, decorated military, decorated pilots, very well-trained scientists. That's what your astronaut has been.
Sure.
We're getting the new tourism astronauts. Those are great too.
Sure.
But yeah, there's so much to do in aerospace, in space. But those skills translate. So like, you know, you get somebody, if you're working on a rocket that's going to go to space, has the same type of technology for an aircraft. So we, you know, you're crossing into these other, and it's great. You know, when Shuttle was highly technical, it was like 9,000 people working on Shuttle when it finally retired. Most of them were the refurb of those shuttles with the tiles and how you do this, all technical work.
Yep.
But it's also, okay, how do we get people certified to do something similar? And maybe if it's not space, it's in, you know, healthcare or health devices or something like that. So we have a good story to tell about space. It's not one where people kind of look at you and go, ah, that's, but it's doable. And you can come out of high school working in the space industry right away, or you start in high school.
Sure.
And there's, you know, we're one of the few states that can offer that.
That's right.
And we're working really hard on, you know, that career pathway to aerospace careers. And that's critical.
Yeah. And you know, I've known some young people that go through, you know, welding certification programs now that, and, you know, it took me a minute to try to understand, okay, how does welding connect to, you know, Blue Origin and SpaceX? But I mean, you know, welders are needed in all that to you know, it's amazing, but very highly paid jobs and great opportunities for welders in the space industry.
Yeah. Welders, composite, you know, people who can do composite manufacturing, those are critical. Electronics, electricians, you start naming, I mean, anything, you know, HVAC, all that stuff goes into space technology. It's, it's, and again, it's just that our ability to get that workforce trained is where we're going to be really successful and how quickly we can do it. And I think we're on the right path and really, you know, I know that's been one of the governor's priority, and he's been really good about making sure and putting that to the forefront, and it's still part of one of his big priorities. So I think we've really pushed hard on that as well.
And go back, Matt, just kind of circle back for us. Now, you, Space Florida, your particular agency, you actually are a potential funder, connector for groups that want to get involved, companies, organizations, businesses that get involved in the space industry. You have grant programs, I believe.
Not a grant. Well, okay. We have a couple that are more niche grant type.
Okay.
We have our Florida Israel program, which we do a grant to companies that are trying to bring, that will partner with an Israeli company and bring a technology to market.
Okay.
We've done that for 9 years with Israel Aerospace, the Israeli Aerospace Authority. And
well, I know we worked with a client one time that that was looking to build a facility at a regional airport, and there was some potential funding for them to, and I guess there were some eligibility issues. Yeah, it had to be an airport authority owned by the county or the municipality, and so. But anyway, very interesting programs that could be very, very helpful to businesses.
Yeah, that's the meat and potatoes of our program, and the ownership of the land is key for us on facilities. We call it special dirt. It's our special dirt provision. Which means government-owned property. So we're going to come in, and if we own a facility on property, it would be tax immune. So there's no tax on it. So we really don't look to take any property that's currently revenue producing for a government off the tax rolls. We think that defeats the purpose of what's going to happen. In this case, on a facility side, we would enter into a ground lease, or the company would enter into a ground lease with the airport authority or a county, city, federal government. NASA has quite a bit of land out there, the Space Force. Just whoever, and then we could build a facility. Now, we borrow that money from the private sector, or we use internal sources of capital from the company. Space Florida technically does not have a pile of cash we use to loan. We do that through the creditworthiness of the companies that we're working with. And then once we build on the facility side, we have the ground, the facility gets built. We're going to be the legal and equitable owner of that facility. And we're going to enter into an operating lease with the company that allows some tax efficiencies that go into the company. So they're looking at it's an off balance sheet transaction. So these are not assets that sit on their balance sheet, which can be critical if they're out there needing capital for operating or things like that. There's some depreciation we can flow back through that because it's an operating lease. So there's some other tax efficiencies. We use what's called, we talk about it's below market lease rates. So, you know, the interesting thing about land at airports, they can never be sold. Airports can't sell their land. I mean, they just, you know, the joke of you need an act of Congress to get something done. They literally need an act of Congress to sell their land because FAA, and they hold that closely because it's part of really that overhaul national security thing to have those type of things there and protect the airports. So if the company builds a facility on an airport, as soon as that ground lease ends, it flips back to the airport. And then they have to release it, and there's some, but they will never truly own the facility. It's just how that works. And banks understand that, businesses that do work at airports understand that. With us owning it, we will get into that long-term lease with them and the company. Our lease rates are just going to be based on the money that we borrow. So we're not going to do a per square foot, like Class A office space, you know, $15 a square foot per year, whatever. We're just going to do principal and interest. And if there's a 30-year lease on that land and we have a 15-year note on the facility, once that facility's paid off, we're not going to charge for it. We don't add anything to it for money-wise for us. Our payback on that is the job and the economic impact that's created by that facility. So year 1 through 15, they're going to make that payment on the facility in this hypothetical situation. Then year 16 through 30, there would not be a facility lease. They still have to pay the underlying ground lease. That's always going to be there. So, you know, we were looking at this as we want to reduce the amount of upfront capital a company has to have. So if we can go out and borrow that as much as possible, if we can do 100%, we do 100%. The banks may require 10% or 20%, whatever they do, but depending on the company. And then we, you know, have enter into the lease and they're done with it. We're looking to reduce the amount of upfront capital they need and then reduce their cost long-term. Also with us owning it and them leasing it through state statute, they're allowed to apply for 100% property tax exemption because the property appraiser will assess a tax on that lease in a public facility used by a private company. Wow. And so they can apply for 100% property tax if it meets the statute of what we do.
And this doesn't have to be, you know, people building spaceships or rockets. Mm-hmm. This can be folks that are just in general aviation space, right?
Yeah, aerospace is a broad term. Aerospace and defense is really where it hits into. So there's a lot of in there. A lot of aviation, aviation. MRO, maintenance, repair, or overhaul operations, which are at almost every major airport because aircraft have to be refurbished and on a regular basis, which that's where we get that critical mass of A&P mechanics. We start talking about that and trying to get those critical skills in there. And we can do all that. That's really where we're looking. It's aviation, it's defense, it's and critically supply chain, making sure these supply chain companies are out there. Now, I always use a story. A company I work with and have worked with on a couple of times. We haven't done a deal, but it's an interesting story. They're in Leesburg, Florida. They make a fastener, and they can put it. That quite honestly, it goes into NASCAR. It goes into automotive. It goes into. But this company in a 20,000 foot facility with 35 employees or 40 employees, whatever he has, with these fasteners, also make their fasteners for Airbus and the Dragon crew capsule. And these are a little Florida company that has got into the, and it's our ability to bring those prime people to the state who can utilize that supply chain and having all of that there. You talk about the supply chain with the prime and the workforce and getting that kind of perfect storm right now, what we're really trying to do.
It's interesting that you bring in Airbus because this is exactly what the question I was going to ask you was, what percentage of some of the business that you're doing is international and organizations or companies wanting to do, whether it is parts or supplies or a greater footprint?
I to get a percentage on international, I don't know. We have a lot of companies that, then the bigger companies, obviously, like an Airbus is European, but they have several large footprints in the United States and North America in general.
Right.
To do a percentage, I wouldn't know. Yeah. But we're seeing everything. We're seeing those primes come here. And those are that's always the fun. Everybody sees that. But, you know, quite honestly, we look at these, our ability to work and get these supply chain companies going with those, you know, those $1 to $5 to $10 million projects that creates 15 or 20 jobs in an area you wouldn't normally think aerospace companies are. Right. And we're seeing an example right now, Northwest Florida, with what they have going on up there. I don't know if you have a chance to understand what's going on in Northwest Florida, what you may call the panhandle.
Right.
The amount of just activity up there has been crazy. It's been all over the state, but they are seeing a huge amount of aerospace up there because, quite honestly, the talent that comes out of Eglin Air Force Base, Tyndall Air Force Base, you know, their location with, you know, some of the around the Southeast from an aerospace and supply chain. And we're seeing new companies start up from the talent they have there. It's just crazy. Yeah. But we're seeing that around the state, too. And I don't want you to think that's the only place that's doing it. But it's just an example of what we're seeing.
Matt, incredible work, incredibly innovative organization, Space Florida. How does one learn more about your programs and potentially have a conversation with you and engage with Space Florida?
Yeah, best way to start our website, spaceflorida.gov. All one word, spelled out, spaceflorida.gov. My contact information's on there. You can find me on LinkedIn. I'm pretty easy to get a hold of you, I think. So email, call, you, all that information's there. So that's a great way to learn about it if you're just coming out there. But, you know, feel free to reach out to anybody in our office that will get you to the right person. If it's not me or somebody else, we'll get you to the right person.
I love it. Incredible program. Thank you again. You're a return guest from last Florida Economic Development Conference. So we do appreciate your time to promote what is a very innovative program. So we appreciate it. Dr. Ricardo, thank you again for your support and co-hosting duties here. It is Matt Chestnut, Vice President of Business and Economic Development for the best kept secret in Florida, Space Florida.
We're trying to make it,
but no longer
not a secret. Let's shout it from the mountaintops.
Shout it from the mountaintops. Maybe I'm thinking, what about a like logo on SpaceX rocket or something?
I think we'd have to. That's going to be a cost, I think, because you're going to advertise on our.
Well, maybe the first time you could do it just by giving Mr. Musk the idea.
I could just see him going up now, and it looks like a NASCAR car going up with all the sponsors on the, you know, the rocket. They've got the rocket mortgage rockets or something like that.
Nice. So. I very great idea, Matt. Again, Matt, thank you for your time.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you for the work you're doing.
Appreciate it.
To help Florida start, grow, and succeed. We love it.
Thank you all guys very much. Appreciate
thank
it.
You. Thank you. There's more coming at you from the Florida Economic Development Conference right here in downtown St. Pete. Stick with us. It is Small Biz Florida.
This has been Small Biz Florida, created and produced by the Florida Small Business Development Center at Indian River State College. Your host for Small Biz Florida is Tom Kindred. Partners for Small Biz Florida include WPSL and WSTU and Indian River State College, named the 2019 winner of the Aspen Prize for Community College Excellence.